praise God. Thank you. You guys did fantastic. Great job leading. Excellent. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 Welcome to First Open Bible in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. We're glad that you are here this morning for worship. If you weren't here in the beginning, my name is Pastor Harrison. I'm the lead pastor. And man, we've already kicked off June with a strong but powerful word last week. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is doing a thing. Amen? I want to be a part of it. You want to be a part of what God is doing? Okay. Just an encouraging word. You can never be a part of what God is doing if you're not listening to what he's doing and you're not being quiet and waiting for the next step. You'll never do it. If you are going to tell God what to do, well, you're already in the wrong seat. Quit trying to drive. Get in the passenger seat and allow God to take control. Amen? Amen. Carrie Underwood had a good song, okay? Jesus, take the wheel. Amen. Amen. It's true, though. I mean, that's biblically strong, actually, that saying. But we oftentimes want God to control things, and we have our own mindsets. We have our own ideas of what should take place. And we think that God is with us, but we've never invited God or asked God what he is doing. We just want him to do what we are doing and say that it's all about God. And guess what? God doesn't work that way. He's in charge. We are not. Amen? Amen. Amen. He's in charge. God, I'm thankful that you're in charge, because we keep messing it up when we try to get in charge. Amen? Y'all look at your name and say, that was you. Hey, quit judging each other. That's messed up. Hallelujah. Our new series is titled, Happening Now. What in the world is going on? Right? What is going on? First off, here's just some encouraging words. Comes from Genesis, right in the very beginning, Welcome to a broken world with broken people. Welcome to a sinful world with sinful people. What in the world is going on? It's just preparing the way for the Lord again. He will be coming back again soon. He will be coming back again soon. And people need to know that these are times that the Bible prophesies about. And if you believe that, you better get out of the pews and get in the people, because people are going to hell in a hurry. We got to be people of God's word, not just hearers, but doers of God's word. This sermon series that we are starting this month is on current events and what is happening in the world and what is happening in the church. And what does the Bible say about it? Let's start again today, this morning, with a little bit of news from this past couple weeks. Okay? Everybody all right with that? Amen. According to the latest studies, abortions have been in the declining trend in the United States. In 2017, there were 862,320 abortions, and that was the lowest annual number of abortions since Roe versus Wade in 1973. This was just about half of the total recorded in 1990 at 1.6 million abortions. State legislators and governors in some states, including Arizona, Oklahoma, Montana, Indiana, Texas, Iowa, and Arkansas, to name just a few, have been passing pro-life legislations and outlawing abortions and the act of abortion providers at various stages of pregnancy. A pro-life trend is starting to sweep the United States of America as a backlash of the current presidential administration's agendas and the past illegal acts of Planned Parenthood. Department of Justice says they just recaptured most of the millions, about $4.4 million, that was paid for ransom. The cyber attacks, DarkSide Network, last month, shut down the Colonial Pipeline for ransom. Investigators discovered that the criminal group and its affiliates have been digitally stalking the United States companies and intentionally targeting victims that are, quote, key players of our nation's critical infrastructure for better part of the last year. Governor Abbott, Greg Abbott of Texas, made good on his promise to defend the voting process. In Texas, it will now be a second-degree felony, no more than 20 years and no less than 2 years, with an optional fine up to $10,000, to anyone who's caught intentionally altering ballots or election reports. Previously, this crime was a Class A misdemeanor. Governor Abbott signed HB 574 in on this past Tuesday, and it will be a bill going into effect in September of 2021. Iowa's Governor Kim Reynolds this week signed into law a state election law passing strict limits on who can assist voters on delivering ballots. The limit says, quote, "No one can deliver a ballot for another voter unless they live in the same home or are immediate family," end quote. It also sets new limits on who can help deliver a ballot for a blind or disabled voter. Here's some more Iowa news just this week. Governor Reynolds signed another bill this week that bans teaching from white privilege or racial equity in K through 12 public schools and in public colleges and universities. Governor Reynolds says, quote, "Critical race theory is about labels and stereotypes, not education. It teaches kids that we should judge others based on race, gender, or sexual identity rather than the content of someone's character," end quote. She went on to say, quote, "I'm proud to have worked with the legislator to promote learning, not discriminatory indoctrination," end quote. Okay. So I want to continue preaching this series by reading some wise words the Apostle Paul spoke to the Galatian church. And I'm going to speak to you this morning. I said it last week, and this is what I'm holding on to and have been for weeks. Galatians 1:10. "Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ." Okay? Praise God. What this month's series is going to preach on is not humanly popular, okay? I tell my wife this before, and I've said it often, actually. I didn't move to Iowa to make friends. I moved to Iowa to be a pastor. If you don't know this, I'm from Oregon. West Coast is the best coast, which is really hard to say anymore, to be honest with you. Let me just say this. I'm so thankful to be in Iowa to raise my two small children. I'm very thankful to be living here. What this month's series is going to be preaching on is not humanly popular, right? I pushed that in high school. I was popular in high school, and now I'm not cool at all, and that's all right. But what do you mean amen? My associate pastor, the loudest amen I've ever heard since you've been hired. Come on now. Amen. You nerd. Okay. All right, whatever. Come on now. He didn't say that. I added that last part. This series is not going to be humanly popular, but I believe it will be heavenly effective. We won't be trying to win the approval of man, but we will be preaching heavenly truths, fighting against the agenda and the tactics of the enemy, and be very counterculture. Yay. We'll focus on the kingdom of God and the principles of its teaching, and it's found in God's word, which is the Holy Bible. Today's sermon is titled, Sanctity of Life. Are you ready? Okay, that makes one of us. Just joking. I'm ready too. Praise God. Without a vision, the word says, people will perish. Without a vision from God, you will never know right from wrong. You won't. Church, we live with two major kingdoms. There's the kingdom of this world, and then there's the kingdom of God. We live in two different mindsets. There's the mindset of this world and the mindset of Christ. In America right now, one seems to be clearly winning. Let's push back. I'd like to touch on two major subjects this morning. Now, church, I want to encourage this every single time. The word says there's this group of people called the Bereans. And the Bereans are supposed to search the word and find answers. And also, when there's teachings going on, is to search the word according to those teachings. Don't just take whatever's been spoken to you and take it as Bible. You need to know your Bible good enough, right? Well enough that you can say in this house, we're a Pentecostal church, we like feedback, that you agree with it. You say amen, not because it touches your emotions, because it touches your soul, because you've already read that. You already believe that. You know God says amen to that. And if you have questions, go back and read the word for yourself. Read the word for yourself. We live in America, and this is not illegal yet. This is not illegal yet. So you can go to a store and buy it. You can go to Hobby Lobby and buy one. You can get some decorations on the wall, and you can get a nice Bible too. Praise God. And it's right by the candy. It's actually true. Okay. I'd like to touch on two major subjects this morning, but I want to encourage you, just like every Sunday, I want to encourage you to get in your own personal studies. Seek out more of what the Bible says about these two major subjects I'm just about to preach on. You got to get into your word. There's enough opinion out there in the world. You need to get into your word and say, what does God say about it? Everyone has an opinion, and you might feel this way or feel that way, or it affects you this or that. You know, honestly, I'm not trying to be mean, but that does not matter. If it goes against God's word, it's still wrong. It's still wrong. It's still wrong. And the Bible says if you know what you ought to do and you don't do it, or if you know the truth and you don't do the truth, that's called what, church? That's called sin. What separates you, one thing that separates you from God is what? Sin. Quit separating yourself from God because you have your own opinion. Okay? God wants you to be reconciled back to Him. He wants that sin out of your life, not because, oh, I'm not going to have a good life. He wants it out of your life because He wants you. He wants relationship with you. There's a better life. It's found in God's Word. Please seek out more on this. What's sanctity of life? Sanctity of life refers to the idea that human life is sacred and holy and precious. Life should be valued, and life is given from God. All life is given from God. I'd like to address critical race theory this morning as our first major subject. Hang on, church. Critical race theory is a mindset that is clearly of this world and not the kingdom of God. Here's a little background. Critical race theories' roots are rooted and founded in a thing called critical theory. Critical theory was started in Frankfurt, Germany, from Frankfurt School, and Frankfurt School is an extension of Frankfurt University, and it started in the early 1900s. Critical race theory came from the teaching and was founded in 1960s and partnered with a lady named Angela Davis. Now, Angela Davis is a Marxist. And she is a self-proclaimed and proud of it communist. Critical race theory is a Marxist ideology that says this: ideas and concepts of one race or of one sex is inherently superior than another race or sex. It also says the United States of America is fundamentally and systematically racist or sexist, and an individual of virtue, by virtue of an individual's race or sex, is inherently racist, sexist, or oppressive. And this is done consciously or unconsciously. Like, you don't even know that you are, right? Bottom line, critical race theory divides individuals into categories, and it's like the oppressed and the oppressor. Now, you have to understand this is the exact foundation of a Marxist movement that was developed, and we now call it, and it now has started all over countries, called communism. Critical race theory teaches and takes away the value of a person by the content of their character or the accomplishments or abilities, and instead focuses on an individual's color or their race or their sex that they were born with. Critical race theory casts a pessimistic and even fatalistic view on all of America's history. It divides teachers, it's dividing states and students, it's dividing communities and neighborhoods and neighbors, and it's doing it with taxpayer dollars. It divides different groups based on constellation of identity categories from one another. Now, here's my personal opinion. This teaching causes more divide. It causes more racism and more hatred. I believe we should be only judging people by their character or their merit or their accomplishments. Why do I say that? Because the Bible calls us the fruit of someone's life. We should not judge each other by the color of their skin or what race someone was born into or if somebody is a male or a female. Now, I still pray for and stand on these powerful and anointed God-given words from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. when he said, quote, "I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they'll not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character," end quote. See, I pray and believe, I want to believe that Dr. King, that everyone in here shares in that dream still. Church, your skin is not your sin. But who really cares about my personal opinion, right? Here's what the Bible says. Let's go to Scripture. Acts chapter 17, I'm going to read one verse to kick us off. Acts 17, 26. "And he is in God, made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times," 2021, what's up, "and the boundaries of their habitation." Now, church, if you believe in creationism, what is creationism? It's a belief that God created all things. It's what the Bible teaches, not what the world teaches. That'd be evolution. By the way, in all of your textbooks, evolution says it's a theory, which means it's not proven, right? So it's a theory that the world teaches. But if you believe in the Word of God, you should believe in creationism, that God created all things. Then you believe this: every human on the planet is from Adam and Eve. Or you could go further down the bloodline and say this: every human is from the family of Noah after the flood. Right, brothers and sisters? Right? Distant cousins? Right? Man, that's one crazy family tree. Think about it. Here's you. And there where we all are, right there. Since the beginning of mankind, there has been separation and hatred among different people and different people groups. It goes back to the very first family in Cain and Abel. Can I just stop for a second? You know what makes this country so great? That we all look different. We're all from different places. I don't know about you, but I'm a mutt. I'm from all over the place. I don't even know some of my history or my generations that go back. But one thing I know is I'm not just one race. I'm like from all over the place, right? That's what I love about America. We all come together. That's what we were founded on. Founded on that. See, listen, there's been separation from the beginning. Two brothers couldn't even get along, so bad that one killed the other. That's the first family, and I'm not talking about the president. That's the first family ever. See, this is why we all, church, say all, we all need reconciliation. This is why we all need Jesus to be the bridge. The bridge to reconcile us back to God. But don't lose this. It's also the bridge that connects me to you. It's our connection to one another. Jesus is the bridge. The New Testament is not absent from separation either, church. As the gospel of Jesus was just getting off the ground in the first century church, there were two classifications of believers, Christians. And this was highlighted by the Judaizers. You had the Jewish Christians, right? The ones that were Jewish. and they accepted Christ. We call them Messianic Jews. And then you had the Gentile Christians. Unless you're of Jewish descent, 100%, that is you. Praise God. You are a Gentile Christian. So you have the Jewish Christians and you have every other kind of Christian. The Apostle Paul goes on to say, and he even refutes some of the separation that's going on in the churches, the very first churches that are going on, the Jews and the non-Jews, the Jews and the Gentiles. And the Apostle Paul, he smashes the whole thing with this. It's in Galatians chapter 3, 26 through 29. He says this, "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ." Verse 28, "There is neither Jew nor Gentile. There's neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." We are joint heirs through Christ. All of us. We all have an inheritance through Jesus. And when we get to heaven, we're all going together, right, at our own times, because we're all one in Christ. Here's the issue of racism. It takes the position that human beings from different races are ultimately irreconcilable, that humanity is divided into fierce, hostile ethnic groups. And the best thing to contain this ethnic conflict is to keep the racial groups separated. This kind of thing didn't happen by accident. And it keeps growing because of the media, because of politics, because of education, and it all stems from humanism. It keeps happening by a worldview way of thinking. And it keeps happening by a worldview way of acting. It keeps happening by sinful people because they keep passing down their racism and their racist philosophies or their sexist philosophies, and they pass it on to their kids and on to another one around them. And what does it do? It causes perpetual hate. It just keeps on going. It keeps on going. It keeps on going because it keeps on passing. The Bible talks a lot about what you should pass down to different generations. It talks a lot about what you should pass down to your children. Let me tell you, what we're seeing in our world right now, this is not what is taught in Scripture. It is not what was taught on the day of Pentecost. Think about the day of Pentecost. 500 came together, 120 stayed, and instantaneously, at the moment when the Holy Spirit fell, the power from on high came upon them all. They united all people for one person, every race, every tongue, both men and women. Remember, they came out and they're speaking with other tongues, and the Word of God says in Acts, man, how are these people? First off, they said, man, it's like 10 a.m., and these people are drunk, right? No, they can't be drunk at 10 a.m., right? And so they said, well, and then it says they're speaking with other tongues. And what's cool about the place that they were in, it was multicultural. And they said, they're speaking my language. Oh, they're speaking my language. Oh, they're speaking my language. They were speaking with other tongues and they were preaching to all the people. And at that very moment, through one sermon given from Peter, 3,000 came to Christ. Were they all of one kind of person, one type of nation, one look, one maybe color of their skin? Or was it only the men or only the children or only the women? It was not. It was all people on the day of Pentecost. It united us. At that very moment, the church was birthed. See, separation is not the Lord's plan. It literally goes against what everything the Bible teaches. Reconciliation. What is that? Bringing back together. See, separation is the plan of the enemy. It's also because of sin of man. We're sinful. I'm going to plainly state this morning, I stand before you today not of the left or the right, Democrat or Republican. I'm of Jesus Christ, saved by his blood, baptized into his death and resurrection, and I will rise again in glory one day on his second return, his triumphant return. So if you too are of Christ Jesus, you must join many others and face racism and sexism together. See, to not oppose this evil is indeed to disobey God. For racism of any kind, including critical race theory, is a denial of the gospel. Racism and sexism attacks the foundations of the biblical faith and the heart of true unity found in Christ and in Christ alone. Right? Y'all would have never known me in all of your life. I don't care where you're from. I don't care what you look like. You would have never known me, ever, if it weren't for Jesus. I would have never known you. How are we united right now? What is the one factor? Jesus. Why y'all together this morning? Y'all don't live in the same house, do you? If you do, when he gets COVID, y'all better just be careful. Y'all get a sneeze or a flu or something. Jesus is the bridge. Now, why do I say this? Let's look at Revelation. What's happening in heaven right now in Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 and 10? After this, I saw a vast crowd. Vast is another word for massive, huge. I saw a vast crowd, too great to count. Where are they from? From every nation, from every tribe, from every people, from every language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands, and they were shouting with a great roar, "Salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb." That's what's going on in heaven right now. Church, I want to ask you to do something with me this morning. Can we join heaven together? I want us to say, "Salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb," together. Will you join me right now? Salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb. Y'all just join heaven right there. See, our faith, church, is not divided by race, color, or sex. In Christ, we are one. Only God can solve the issues we have in America right now. There are issues of injustice and racism and sexism. There is major hatred and there's a division in our country. It's true. It's real. Only God's way of thinking will provide real truth and freedom. And we are all one in Christ Jesus. And we only judge each other, or we should only judge each other, by the fruits of their life, not by the color of their skin or what sex they are. Now, I will not stand before you today and ask anyone to repent for the sins of history. That is unbiblical. But the Bible does tell us to do something, church. Galatians 6, 2 and 3. Share each other's burdens. And in this way, obey the law of Christ. Now, I love this. I threw this extra verse in for some of us. Here's the major thing of sexism, racism, any kind of divide at all, even generational division, right? I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm too whatever. They don't understand or they don't get it. The whole division, right? It's called a thing, it's the very first sin that you ever read about in the Bible, and it's called pride. You think you're better than you are. You think you're better than you are. You're not that good. No. Hey, Pastor Harris, that's me. Now let's just read the next verse. Galatians 6, 3. If you think you're too important to help somebody, help someone, you're only fooling yourself. You are not that important. Well, thank you, Paul. I appreciate that. Right? Sometimes we need that. Share in each other's burdens, though. That's obeying the law of Christ. See, there's still racism and sexism in America. I have personally been racial profiled before. It makes you feel icky. It makes you feel like, what have I done? Why are you treating me like this? I was kind as kind can be. Still happened. Because of the color of my skin. Now, I have no clue what some of y'all have faced in your life. I have no clue. Y'all have told me some stories before. I can't even imagine the horrific things you've had to walk through. The sinful world. Can't even imagine. See, racism has I'm just remembering some of the stories. I don't understand. I don't understand. Now, this sounds cliche, but I didn't grow up that way. I don't get it. I just don't understand. But it happens, and it's wrong. It is wrong. Here's me as a person. It's wrong. Here's me as a pastor. It's wrong. It's wrong. Racism has manifested itself in a variety of ways. I only just listed a couple. In America, here in America. First off, quit thinking America's so perfect. It's human beings. We're going to make mistakes and we need to do better. That's how you progress. You got to do this. But in America, we've had things like genocide, slavery, segregation, Native American reservations, immigration, and neutralization laws. There is a divide in America on all types of levels. I mean, they're a whole hot mess. A whole hot mess out there. There are things that need to change in America. Yes. Have we done better in some stuff? Yes, praise God. Do we still have work to do? Absolutely. But church, we need to do better together. As men and women, people of different ethnic backgrounds and colors of our skin and different age groups, we need to stand together in Christ as one body with one spirit praying for unity. Have to. Listen, at First Open Bible, I'm the head leader. And I say we will never judge you or allow anyone else to the best of my ability to do such a thing because of the color of your skin, or if you're male or female, we will not judge you based on that. Everyone is made in the image of God, and I truly believe we are better together. You will not be separated. You will not be put into a category. You will not be treated differently, but you will be loved. You will be loved, and you're only going to be judged by your character that you portray and the fruits of your life. Now, why do we say that? Because that's the way the Bible says to do it. That's why. So we can't judge each other. You haven't read your Bible maybe enough. You can judge one another. Now, you can never condemn somebody, and you should never treat them differently, but you can judge somebody by the fruit of their life. The Bible teaches it, and that's the only way that you should see people. And what do I mean by judge? See that we get a bad rap of what judge means. Judge means you write them off. No. You just notice where they're from. You notice where they're at. And it might give you a different trust level and how much you let them in. But you should love them. You should pray for them. You should do anything you can to lead them closer to Christ. Anything. That should not determine that you just write them off because maybe they're acting a fool and they're a hot mess and they're just doing all kinds of, their fruit is sour. They don't have any fruit at all, you know, whatever. You got to help them. Teach them what fruit looks like. See, here at First Open Bible, we believe in biblical unity. We are one in Christ Jesus. Listen, in heaven, we are going to worship together for all of eternity. So we might as well start now here on earth. It just makes sense. Plus, how's the world going to know you're Christ's disciple? How does the world know that you are Christ's disciple? How does the world know that you're a Christian? By the way you love one another. Now, when they talk about love one another, it's not about loving the world. Loving one another is loving your other believer. The world's going to know that you're Christ's disciple by the way that you love the family of God. I mean, you do have to love the world. But that's how the world's going to know. Man. With all the division in the world, Why is that church or this church or that city or all that, they're all coming together on a Sunday? Sunday, I've heard from one of my friends who's down in California. He says Sunday's the most segregated morning of all mornings. Sunday is the most segregated day of the week. Because you got your black church, you got your white church, you got your Asian church, you got your old people church, you got your young church, you got your, I mean, just separates all over the place. And that's not, that makes no sense. That's not even what is happening in heaven right now. Church, wake up, man. Wake up. The word says, wake up, O sleeper. Wake up, O sleeper. Wake up. Wake up. Now I want to ask you to do something. If you personally in your life, or you know someone that's close to you that has faced some sort of sexism or racism, will you get the thing just on me right now so people can stand up and they'll have the world. I don't know how spread apart it is. Just come to me. You're good? Okay. I want to ask you to stand. Why? Because we're going to join together in prayer and we're going to share in your burden. We're going to pray for you. Because that's what family does. If you've ever faced sexism or racism, or you know somebody really close to you that has, will you please stand? Just stand right now. If you've ever faced that, we're going to share in your burden. Hallelujah. Church, if you've never faced that before, consider yourself blessed. Blessed. But the Bible says if you don't pray for one another, or you don't want to consider helping somebody out, you're not that important, right? What it's saying is this, jump in the boat. These people have pain in their life. They've had to face some things that you will never understand. So as your brother or sister in Christ, you better love on them and say, how can I do better? How can I help? What can I do to join you right now? But just extend your hands as we pray. Is there somebody that's standing and wants to pray for this? Who wants to pray for this? Marilyn, you want to pray for this? Anybody want to pray for this? Is this on? Okay. Some of you stand and want to pray for this, that whatever God has done in your life, that you want reconciliation. If not, I can pray too. Pray with me. You want to pray, come on up. Brother Bob, dude, you can pray, man. We have had so many conversations together. Yes, God.
Touch hearts, touch minds, the way we look at things in this world, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father God, I pray that you would touch the lives of those that don't even know you, Lord.
Yes, God.
Mm-hmm. Father God, it's Bob Jenkins, Lord. I love you. I know you love me, Lord. You
Amen.
Said that I'm your friend.
That's
Lord,
right.
You call me your friend.
Yes,
Lord. Lord, those that know you, we're your friends. Servants, but we are friends, Lord. We come to you today, Father God, for people, for this world, Lord.
Yes.
Touch us, Lord. Draw us together. Draw us to you, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Draw mankind to you, Lord, today.
Thank you, Father.
That's why you sent Jesus, that we be reconciled to you.
Mm-hmm.
Father God, we just lift these people up, Lord. touch them, give them your
Thank
peace,
you, Father.
Lord. Father God, as Jesus spoke to the sea and said, peace be still.
That's right.
We speak, peace be still in this country, in this world.
Yes, Father.
In Jesus' name. And I
Thank you.
Say it is so, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Bob. Love you, man. Let's stay right here real quick. Amen. Remember what you say, you always say to me? I'm your what?
This is my little brother.
And if anybody's going to mess with me, he's in first line, so he's going to take care of it. If you don't know Bob, he's an ex-boxer, so give him a haymaker, baby. Love you. Praise God. Yes, ma'am. Go on, pray. Miss Marilyn, you got something to say? Amen.
Well, I wasn't going to say anything, but it just came to my heart just to ask people to pray. I don't know for anyone that knows me, but I'm a foster mom. I've been fostering for 21 years, and I foster a young man, all different colors. And I've had some of my African-American and Mexican or Hispanic kids who come to me with experiences. Mm-hmm. They just stop me for no reason, and why this and why that. And I answered them to the best of my ability. Every kid that I have in my home, I introduce them to Jesus.
Amen.
And I'm not saying this for any bragging rights or anything, but that's what I do. It's important to me. So when they do get out in the world, they know who they are and whose they are.
That's right.
And they don't they know Jesus' voice or spiritual Holy Spirit voice compared to the not good voices. And so I'm asking for prayer for these young kids of color to be able to discipline or police themselves so that when these bad things happen to them, they can remember the teachings of what I've tried to instill in them and not act on misplaced emotions that will change the rest, potentially change the rest of their lives. And so in the name of Jesus, dear God, I'm asking you
yes,
to
Father.
Just hear my prayer.
Yes,
God.
God.
I know that you created them and you love them, dear
yes,
Lord.
Father.
So I'm believing in your word
yes.
that you will deliver them
yes,
or
God.
Keep them from all hurt, harm, and danger.
Mm-hmm.
And if that does happen to them, Lord, I know it is your will. We don't understand everything that happens, but I'm thanking you in advance for answering my prayer to you to just wrap these kids with a shield of your protection
yes,
and
Lord.
To keep me strong with no fear
yes, Lord.
So I can continue to do your work
mm-hmm.
Through me into them, dear God. Thank you.
Thank
I
you,
love
Lord.
Everyone in this church. I love this church.
Yeah.
I love God, and I love Pastor, and I love you, Lord. Thank
Amen.
You.
Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Miss Marilyn. Praise God. Whew. Break down the walls, Lord. Praise God. Thanks, Brother Bob. Appreciate it. Thanks, Marilyn. We met at a restaurant. That was a good day. That was a good day. Except she didn't share her rolls. What's up, man? Yeah, amen. Yeah, if you want to know the story, please go to Marilyn. She tells it way better than I do. Praise God. God's doing something, church. God's doing something. Okay, session one. Here's session two. Sanctity of life refers to the idea of human life, that it's sacred, holy, and precious. All of life should be valued, and life is given from God. I believe God is doing two things. I'm going to read through this, and God wants to mend some broken hearts in here today about something else. I'd like to address the second and the last major subject today, and that's abortion. There's a lot of pain in our midst. Pain regarding the tragedy of abortion. As a pastor, I'm called to bring hope, reconciliation, and healing to those who have had or who have cooperated in abortions. That includes voting for them. I'm called also to encourage and equip God's people to make positive changes in society. Amen. Marilyn, that's what you're doing. So that respect and protection for the lives of the unborn will flourish. Church, God is both truth and compassion. I pray Truth is spoken right now with compassion about this difficult subject. This year in the United States marks 48 years since abortion was legalized by the Supreme Court decision of Roe v. Wade. This year, in a new analysis published by the National Right to Life Committee, indicated there has been an estimated 61,628,584 abortions since the Supreme Court handed down its 1973 Roe v. Wade, allowing virtually unlimited abortions in America. This is more than the population of our country's most populous state, California. The 61,628,584 is actually a number that's greater than the population of our 23 least populous states in America combined. Loss of life is staggering. If these babies would have been born, the size of their population would rank ahead of countries like Italy, Spain, Kenya, South Africa, Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Argentina, Colombia, Venezuela, Hong Kong, Cambodia, South Korea, and even Canada. My Canadians. I have Canadian pastors I love. Love you guys if you're watching. Miss you. If these babies would have been born, our country would approximately be about 19% larger in population than it is right now. Nothing has ever killed more babies in America or worldwide than abortion. In my opinion, protecting babies from abortion is the single greatest human rights cause in human history. Amen. And every American who believes in the sanctity of life, that unborn babies are human beings created by God and they should have a right to life, must stand up every day and speak for their rights until abortion is eliminated. The Word of God says in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19, there are six things that the Lord hates. No, seven things he detests. Before I go on, why didn't you just like erase that? I guess you didn't have erasers back then and just say there's seven things, right? Six, seven. Oh, no, I thought another one. Eight, right? Okay. There are six things the Lord hates. No, seven things he detests. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that kill the innocent, a heart that plots evil, feet that race toward or to do wrong, a false witness who pours out lies, a person who sows discord in a family. Now, America's one in seven. Say seven, church. One in seven countries in the entire world, including China and North Korea, that allow abortions on demand until birth for any reason. Alan Guttmacher Institute. Research shows that abortions in cases of rape or incest account for around 1% of total abortions. That means 99% of abortions are done for other circumstances, including convenience. Now, here's an interesting fact in America. Maybe you can riddle me this, Batman. Here's an interesting fact. If someone kills a pregnant mother, they're charged with double homicide. But abortion is legal up until birth because many say a fetus is not a human. Y'all don't believe it? Look it up. You see the breakdown in our laws, our policies, and morals and ethics? Interesting fact. But I have some good news for you, church. Most people in America now believe in what is being called as common sense abortion limits. One of the major leaders in this is among younger generations. Younger generations are becoming increasingly more pro-life. This is due to some of the residue when Planned Parenthood was exposed to late-term abortions and selling baby parts for testing. The evil that was taking place was exposed, and it caused a massive ripple effect. Most Americans now are rethinking and reevaluating abortions that are allowed all the way up until birth. A According to the Guttmacher Institute, there's around 800 clinics providing abortion services in America. The number of clinics are increasingly in the Northeast and the West, and increasing and decreasing in the Midwest and in the South. Now, 29 states are considered pro-life, 14 states are considered pro-choice, and 7 states are in between. 29 states are hostile toward abortion. 14 states consider very supportive for abortion, and 7 states are in between. Public sentiment has shifted in America. It has shifted toward the pro-life direction. Now check this out. Over 500 bills have been introduced into state legislators just this year alone. 500. What month is it? June. We got a whole another half to go. 61 of those 500 of those bills have already been passed. What we're seeing in America is bills being passed by the will of the people. Voters are putting state representatives in positions that have the same voice as them. Imagine that. People in politics that are representing the people. That is the whole point of government. Anyway, whole nother story. And they have been going and speaking for the people. They've been sending these representatives, the people have been sending these representatives on a mission to speak up when they go to our state capitol. Abortion bills and legislative decisions are in some states, and they're non-existent in others. But what you're seeing is in America, people are getting a voice and they're speaking up. This is also currently happening against critical race theory and the coronavirus restrictions. Praise God for emails. Okay, what is happening now is American people are fighting back for the sanctity of life. The overturning of Roe v. Wade decision might still be further out than many believers want it to be, but what we're seeing is many bills being passed, like the heartbeat bill. Maybe you've heard about that. Here's another bill that's been taking place, is no abortions taking place after 5 months of pregnancy. Why? Because it's scientifically now proven that a baby can feel pain. Recent studies show that 80% of people who were asked, 80% of these people asked, pro-life or pro-choice or any other demographic, they support this ban of 5 months and beyond. 80%. Praise God. That's exactly right. It's a start. Public opinion has shifted. People are increasingly becoming pro-life. Why? Now, some of y'all don't like technology, but let me tell you, it's saving lives. Technology has a huge part to play with what we're seeing in pro-life. Why? Because you go in and you see an ultrasound or you hear a heartbeat and a whole thing changes. God changes it right then and there. Technology is stepping up and equipment is getting better. There's a softening of the heart for the unborn. Praise the Lord, but we must keep advancing. What's the Bible say about abortion? Throughout Scripture, God affirms the value of every human life. From children in the womb to the elderly. Every race and both sexes, male and female. I pray these scriptures I'm about to read will inspire you, and they're going to remind you how valuable you are. How valuable you are in the sight of the one who made you and gave you life. Psalms 139, 13 through 16 says this. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body, and you knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watch me as I've been formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day has passed. Jeremiah 1:5. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. Psalm 127:3-5. Children are a gift from the Lord, even at 3 a.m. Come home now, right? You're a gift, right? I got two kids. All right. Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. Children born to a young man are like arrows in a warrior's hand. Why is that? Let me tell you, the younger generation has a calling. And if you send them in the right spot, things are going to take place. If you send them to the bullseye, they're going to hit it. But you better teach them. Right, graduates? Verse 5. How joyful it is the man whose quiver is full of them. Quiver is where you hold your arrows. What's that? Right? Where you shoot them out. I stopped at 2. He will not be put to shame when he confronts his accusers at the city gates. I love that. That's one of our favorite verses at home. Genesis 1:27. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. God created them male and female. He created them. Praise God. Now let's get real before we close. About 1 in 4 women, approximately 24%, 1 in 4 women will have an abortion by the age of 45 in America. Half of abortion patients are in their 20s. Now check this out, 54%, more than half, 54% of abortion patients identify as Christian or Catholic. It's important to know you're not alone. You're not alone. We're watching online. You're not alone. Both having an abortion, dealing with the after effects of abortion, can bring on a flood of different emotions. There are many factors that go into having an abortion. Information, false information, media, social pressures, confusion, family pressure, medical professionals. Pro-life or pro-choice, the decision to have an abortion is often tragic and painful for the mother. How does it affect them? Psychologically, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Social stigmas can be heartbreaking and shaming, but Jesus came to heal. Jesus came to set us free. He came to reconcile our heart back to him. He came to take our pain and lighten our burdens. God wants to tell somebody in here right now, somebody watching online, you are loved. You are loved. And the Lord can and wants to forgive you and help you forgive yourself by healing your heart. And we're not gathered here to judge each other. That's a church down the street. I'm just playing. Sorry, who's ever down the street? I'll just play it. Churches shouldn't be like that. Seriously, we are not here to judge each other. We're gathered here as brothers and sisters in Christ to lift each other up in prayer. James 5:16 tells us, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so you may be healed. Why? Because the earnest prayer of a righteous person, now you're not righteous on your own accord, you're righteous because of what Christ Jesus did for you. But if Christ Jesus and he's your Savior, you become righteous and your filthy rags become his white robe. You are righteous because of that. So the earnest prayer of somebody who believes in Christ and follows him, of a righteous person, has great power and produces wonderful results. Amen. So I'm going to ask you to do one thing before I ask the worship team to come up. If you personally, or you know somebody close to you that has been involved in an abortion or something to the effects of that, will you please stand now? You, someone that you know close to you, somebody, stand please. Stand with you. What we're going to do right now is we're going to go in prayer, see you healed. Why? That's what family does. You're not standing, like I said before, consider yourself blessed. But if you're not willing to help each other, you're not that important. Bible said so. But it's just a reminder that all of us help each other and love each other and pray for each other. Why? Salvation comes with our prayer to God, but healing often comes with prayer with one another. That's how we get healed. You're standing. Thank you for standing. If you're not, will you extend your hands to them as we just pray? Father, Father, I just pray for each and every person that is standing right now. They represent themselves or somebody that they know or a family member, a friend, or somebody that that they're involved with, coworker, whoever it is, God. I'm reminded that you heal our broken hearts. That God, there's not one sin, not one thing this side of heaven that you can't forgive. That your grace is not enough. That your love is not enough. That all sins were pinned to the cross. And they were buried in the tomb. And when you ran out, God, you ran out with our freedom. You ran out with our healing. You ran out with broken hearts being mended. And I just pray right now, Lord, that anybody who needs a touch from God, from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet, I pray for the anointing and the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit to be upon them. If they're standing in the gap for someone else, wherever they are, sitting down, standing up, laying down, whatever it is, God, may they feel the anointed presence of God, Holy Spirit, right now, mend and touch and talk to that situation right now. And whatever they're facing, God, I pray for the condemnation from the devil, the condemnation from sin, the condemnation of this world, the condemnation of whatever is be broken by the power and by the love of God. May they not only turn their pain into a testimony, but may they turn that thing that they've walked through to be a blessing. God, I'm reminded in your word in Genesis that the things that the devil intended for evil and the things of this world that intended for evil, God, you are right now turning it for good. God, I pray that you will heal them. There is somebody in here today that cannot forgive themselves. They say they do, but it is painful every time. You're actually not even standing. God loves you and you are forgiven. He wants to help you to walk through that forgiven, that forgiveness, that he wants to forgive you right now. I'm going to pray for you. Before you lay your head down tonight, I'm going to prophesy this. God is going to touch you in a supernatural way that you've never felt before. There's going to be this love and peace. It might not take away everything that you have because you've rooted some thoughts in your mind that need to be uprooted, and that might take time. But there's going to be love, and there's going to be a peace that you haven't felt in a very long time. And I want you to understand and recognize that's because we prayed today. That's because God loves you. That's because God is real, and he's an intimate God, and he cares about you. And what you've had to face and the choices that have been made, God wants to set you free from those. You are not condemned because of those. You can be free because of those. And he wants to turn it around in your life. He wants you to know that you are loved no matter what you have done, no matter where you have gone. He loves you. His love will set you free. It's enough. It is enough. There's nothing you can do that will separate you from the love of God. Nothing. God, I thank you right now. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated if you can. Thank you for joining us online as well. If you stood or represented that person or if it was yourself. Worship team, will you come up? I want to give you a couple quick resources. I want to say one thing. We're going to sing a song. We're going to go out together and we're going to change the world. Why? Because the world changer lives in you. Here's a few things. Here's a few quick resources I want you to take with you as you go. It's okay to keep studying, all right? Susan B. Anthony list. Thing called Susan B. Anthony list. This will also be online if you want it later. Be on our website too. Some resources. Susan B. Anthony list. This will help you with pro-life stuff. It talks about pro-choice and pro-life and what's going on in our world right now. There's a thing called Bridge Haven Pregnancy Center in Cedar Rapids. When I was a youth pastor, many, many times we brought Bridge Haven in. They talked about sex. They talked about what's going on in our world, but they also talked about pregnancy. They talked about, it's a Christian company, and they connect you to a lot of resources. They're incredible and wonderful people that work there. And their phone number is 319-364-8967. 319-364-8967. They can answer all kinds of questions. Abortion questions. They can answer life, pro-life questions. They can answer sex questions. They can answer sexuality questions. They can answer all kinds of stuff. And they're a great resource. Here's a great book for what we talked about, critical race theory earlier. It's called Fault Lines. It's by a guy named Voody T. Bauckham Jr. What a cool name, Voody. What up, Voody? Right? Cool. It's like, what's up, man? Voody. Right? That's just a cool name. Cool name. Voody. Way better than Harris. What's up, Harris? It just doesn't roll off like Voody. All right. But Voody T. Bauckham Jr., this guy is amazing, and you can listen to stuff online, but he's got a book. He's a preacher, a professor, and a cultural apologist. He's currently living in Zambia, and he's serving as the dean at a school of divinity at an African Christian university. This guy's got skills. He's awesome. And he talks about America and what's going on in America. There's a guy named David Barton. Many of you probably know him and heard him. He's one of my favorites. He is awesome, and he is strong. David Barton, he's an evangelical Christian, a political activist. He's an author. And what I love about him and what I really tap into because I love American history is he's a historian. His website is wallbuilders.com, wallbuilders.com, wallbuilders.com. And the last one for pro-life stuff is lifenews.com. Life news, no space, because you don't do that when you're typing things in. Lifenews.com. It's another great resource. So what can we do, Pastor? First off, will you stand with me? What can we do? First thing you should always do is what? Pray. Right? MC Hammer said you gotta pray just to make it today. Okay, anyway. He did. I had the tape. Some of y'all don't even know what tape is. Okay. Pray, church. Stand on the word of God. Love everyone that Christ died for. That includes every race, every age, and both men and females. Both male and female. Stand against the things that are against God's plan for life. Preach the word, the whole word, the good word of Jesus. Don't just pick and choose. This ain't Burger King. Stay strong in your biblical worldview. Share your faith. Follow Christ. Amen. Father, as we go, I just pray that we change the world because you live inside of us. You're the world changer. God, not because we're better than anyone, because we actually are not better than someone. But Lord, we have an answer, the answer that set us free, the answer that constantly is reminding us of who we are in you. And God, there's a lost and broken world, and they need people who love you first and foremost and then love the lost and the broken. Lord, I pray that each and every person in here, if they call themselves a Christian, they better have somebody that they're discipling. I pray for disciplers in here today, that they walk alongside with one another. And if they haven't been discipling, God, put upon their heart this week someone that they can walk with and disciple the ways of God, the truths of God. Read the word together, walk together, talk about real things going on. And I pray right now, each and every person in here and anybody hears it online, you got to know people that don't look like you, they don't act like you, so you can start having conversations that you will never understand. Love one another, pray for each other. God, we thank you in Jesus' mighty name. God's children said, amen. Amen. Amen.